Well, that's great. Thank you, Father, for the evening and the opportunities and the quarter. We've been blessed. We're thankful again for the provisions of grace that give us the opportunity to talk to you. We're thankful. May the hour be a benefit. In Christ's name, amen. Here we're on page 24. We're on Aiteo. Aiteo Aitema. Aiteo is asking communication, to make it short. The definition in the notes is the more accurate, lengthy definition. It is a communication in which you know the object and you request or ask of the Father, and in the same way that Christ would ask for in the character of Christ. And so it's an element where the individual is asking on his own behalf. He's not asking for someone else. So it's a personal kind of relationship that we have. This is not used very often by most believers. It's kind of interesting when you realize that the best way to find Aiteo work is to be an abiding believer. And there's a link to that in John 15. And so being at ease, being in a place in your position in Christ where it is real easy to know when to be thinking in the realm of your position, and you're just totally at ease. You're comfortable in that. And so it's kind of interesting. I believe a spiritual believer can, but an abiding believer is a whole lot easier because you have that reciprocity agreement in which when you're abiding, you're at ease and you are used to seeing how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are relating to you, and it makes it much easier to ask in His character because we know then what we ask before we ask it. And in fact, sometimes I think with asking, we don't even need to even think about asking. We just know that there's no question what He's going to do. And that's just, I think, an adjunct part of being in a proper ongoing relationship, in a maturing relationship. Now, we're working with a verb, it's aiteo, occurs 67 times in 11 of the New Testament books, which means it occurs lots of times. But many of these occurrences are not used in relationship to the grace believer's communication with God. And so we need to remember that, and so we're isolated when we look this term up in concordance like Englishman's, Greek concordance. The noun form, aitema, occurs three times. Of course, the prevalent one is in Philippians 4:6. Let your askings in that passage. We've been there, that's one of those key passages. We have two majors, that's 1 Timothy 2:1, Philippians 4 and 6. We also have another one in which we have several forms of communication, and that's in James 5. And so I've been thinking about remodeling my notes just to add some more. I mean, that's my problem. I always tend to add because I keep working in the way I want to organize things, and I didn't put that in originally. And the ma ending is describing the result of the act of asking. And that is often translated request when it says in Philippians 4, let your requests be made known. And so that's the way that is translated in some instances. There are compound forms, that is, you have a preposition stuck in the front of aiteo, and there are five of them. They occur 18 times, and none of them are used of our communication with God the Father or any other person of the Godhead. So that's there for your information, but it's not really pertinent to our study on that. So when we talk about it, we need to recognize four key things, and that's letter C. That is, it's for a specific need. It's something you know for certain. And so it's specific. It's not a shot in the dark. A shot in the dark is supplication. When there's an unknown factor, we've been there. Any unknown factor, whether it's for yourself or someone else, is an unknown, and so it's that supplication or cry for help kind. But this is a specific need, and it's known. And it's directed, and it's interesting. When we don't have time to go back into the upper room and see the comparison between erotao and aiteo. Erotao is a communication between equals. And Christ says, and we'll be at this verse, but hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. That's aiteo. And in that same context, he says, you're not going to erotao me anymore, disciples. They were in a familiar relationship, in relationship to his human nature, and so they were speaking to him as equals. And he says, no more, and when you ask in this way, it's going to be in a totally different way from what you could ask before. You're doing it in my name, in my character. And so you ask as he would, in his character, as he relates it to the Father. And so it's directed by an inferior or a lesser to a superior. So that's number two. Number three, it's also only directed to the Father. It's only directed to God the Father. I go to places and I'm getting crotchety in my old age. And I heard somebody who would have been nice if you knew better that was talking to Jesus throughout a prayer. And it was, it was a fingers on the blackboard thing to me, because he did not realize what he didn't know any better. And I thought, yeah, when this guy went to seminary, they should have taught him right, and they didn't. And so he confused praise with thanksgiving, and he confused the object of communication. And the one who receives it, and he was saying, Jesus is Jesus, sad or Lord. Once or twice, he did mention the Father, so he was kind of juggling back and forth, the magic movement on it. And so it was interesting, because I just thought, this church that we were in I don't know what they run, but probably 150, 200 people. And if their pastor doesn't know the difference, they don't know the difference. And so they weren't taught that. He did say some really good things, which were a blessing to me that he did. But in that case, I just thought, it would just be nice if he was able to do that and the people would know it, what it's all about. Then the third thing is, it is made for oneself. Most of the time, aiteo occurs in the middle voice. In other words, it's for some need that you have as an individual. It's not made for anybody else. Supplication is an intercession. So you have this little package, which is, I'll see if those guys remember that. Okay, we have supplication. And this involves yourself or others. Let's just make it easier. Okay, so for yourself, we have asking, that's aiteo. So this question mark, whoops. Yeah, let's put that down below. The question mark. I mean, there's always an unknown. This is known. Others is intercession. And I don't have room to write it, so I'm just going to write inter. And that's known, a known something. And so this is the package of seeking from something from God, the three kinds of communication. So you don't have four, you have three. Supplication goes for others or for yourself. So you can say, help me or help them. And that's the difference. And so when we deal with asking, we're going to spend more time with supplication. And we were in James 5 last week, where, you know, the effectual fervent supplication of a righteous man is very powerful in that case. And so that can be in any direction. Whereas intercession will be for someone else. And asking can be for your, is only used for yourself. And so you can kind of figure it out that we tend to use more supplication when we're seeking something from God. And then we will likely use more intercession beyond next in the line, and asking is down the line a little bit further. I mean, that's just the way it would naturally work on that. And so, and a lot of times we think, I'm reading the book, some of these books on intercessory prayer, they have supplication all over the place, and they don't know it. It's so confusing. And so that's the package there. And so it's not made for someone else, it's made for you personally. And that's how that works. Now, the result of the death of Christ in asking communication, I don't think I need to go through this other than to just refer. Christ is seated at the right hand. We are in him. We have that privilege of communicating from the right hand. The work of Christ has provided a new and living way. It's a different way than ever existed before the day of Pentecost. And so with that, we have the ability then to enter with boldness into the presence of Father. And so this is another, I mean, it affects our asking. We don't need to be ashamed to ask as Spirit-filled believers. And so his sacrifice made it possible. He's our sympathetic high priest. And he's seated on a throne of grace. And Hebrews 4:16 tells us that, I mean, we go to him and appeal to his grace. I mean, is there anything that we deserve? There are a lot of people who think there are a lot of things they deserve. It's really interesting with all of this, this 99% occupy thing. I don't like to use occupy. I was using it before they were on it. But these guys are, there were people in the college students protesting in the East, and they wanted to have their college completely paid for by the taxpayer. They felt it was their right. They'd only been had their education paid for 13 years, most of them. Of course, I'm sure if you'd have checked their job history, they probably didn't even work 2 years when they turned of age where they could, and they expected something for nothing. And I imagine their parents were upper class parents, and they were going to try to get them to do some work, and they just were, and it was driving me crazy to listen to them and see them and read about them, because they thought they deserved it. This is all by grace that we're dealing with. Now let's go to some key passages, and that's going to take us first of all to John chapter 16. John 16, and we'll begin looking at verse 23. We're working to 24. So John 16, this is in the upper room, and he's talking about a change in 23. He says, in that day you will not erotao me. You will not erotao me nothing. Now in English that's bad because that's a double negative. But in this case, you'll absolutely not ask as equals. Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I'm in verse 23 of 16. I am telling you, whatever you happen to ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now it's interesting, he uses a subjunctive as a possibility, and then an indicative mood when he says he will give it to you. But you have to do it in the character of Christ, in my name. And so it's interesting when we understand there's this new kind of, new manner of asking. It's nothing a disciple could have done. It was absolutely 100% impossible. even before the day of Pentecost, in the interval between Christ's cross work and Pentecost. And one reason for that is because of the involvement of the Holy Spirit in this thing of having a relationship so that we can understand and discern the Father's will and the Son's will. We're not there yet. Verse 24. Hitherto. Now that hitherto is a major, major important marker. I'm going to translate it so you can see it. Up to the edge of now. Until now. This hetlos is on the edge. Are you in or are you out? You're on the line. And so this is up to this point in time, up to now. Right now, Christ says, you have asked nothing in my name. So they were incapable of asking as a lesser to a greater on one's own part, the middle voice, asking on their own part for something specific. They couldn't do it in Jesus' name. When it's in the character of Christ, and I've said it already in this class a number of times, when we are in the character of Christ, we're asking it from the right hand, and the Father looks to his right, and what does he see? He hears that request, and he hears it as though Christ himself was asking for it. It's in his character. And so when you ask in this way, he sees you in Christ, but he sees it as coming with Christ. So in a sense, it appears that God the Father sees Christ asking what we have asked and we behind him or in him. And so, I mean, it's so interesting when we understand it. And so, ask and you shall receive. This line is one that was used by a very well-known national guy who had a paper called Sword of the Lord. And he wrote a book entitled Prayer. Asking and receiving. And this is right here. You know, ask and you will receive. Now, he left the context all out of it, and that book is full of some really weird stuff. But he says, ask and you will receive, as long as it's in my name, that your joy may be full. So the idea of that your joy will be in a state of having been filled. And the word fill is a perfect tense verb. So that when you ask, your joy, you have this opportunity as a spiritual believer to talk to God the Father through the Son, and then he provides what we need, and your joy will be in the best, I mean, just perfect, and it's the joy you have as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so you see, you have a shift. Now, hitherto is a key term. Now I've got to remember this. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay. This slide on down. You have hitherto, and then you have in verse 26 another little key pivot. He says, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So you see, this is that thing we've just been talking about. And it's kind of interesting. We ask as lesser to greater. And when the Father looks at Christ, he's not looking at Christ as a lesser being, but he's looking at equals. First word is aiteo, second word is erotao in that passage. So at that day, what's he looking forward to? He's looking forward to the day when the Holy Spirit comes and when these things can happen. So he's looking forward to Pentecost. And so that's the focus of this. And there's another time word. So up till now, that is before this, under the Gospels, in the Gospels, under law, clear back in the Old Testament, never happened. They never could aiteo like we can. And that's important. And then when he says, at that day, he's looking forward to Pentecost. And that's part of the flow of this whole upper discourse. And so things are going to change in a very positive way. Now, I've gone to 16. Let's go back to 14. I like to start at 16, and so I've kept it this way in my notes. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And you see, the order is important to me because he says, and whatever you ask, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And this isn't just asking for anything you feel like you want. It's really interesting. That's what a lot of people think. Oh, I'd sure like to have a bigger TV. I'm going to ask God for it. And it doesn't work, and the old one breaks down. No. I mean, it's just, I mean, people just have this, and that's what John R. Rice did in his book. He essentially said, if you want it bad enough, you can ask in the character of Christ and get it. No sense of the will of God. No sense of the character of Christ. But here, you ask, and then Christ says, I will do it. Now, you've got two persons working with this. You've got the Father, and you've got Christ, that are going to provide these indicative mood dues. I'm going to do it and make you sure. But you've got to ask it in my character. Now, when I see the two persons involved, that's the reason I say sometimes I think we may not even need to ask, because we already know that it's going to happen. Maybe it's a plus for us to ask, because we see a part in it, in a sense, that we know that we're conformed to the character of Christ, and so we can ask and we see it work, and that's a blessing, it really is. But again, there are times, I think, that we just know, and we don't need to necessarily do it. There is nothing wrong with asking. And once in a while, like I say, sometimes we just probably don't need to. That's always an interesting thing in an intimate relationship. And it's especially true in marriage. When somebody's married a long time, they have a good marriage, and the positive things, it's really funny how you think alike. I mean, you don't really need to ask the other person whatever. You know, it was so funny sometimes. We would want to go out to eat somewhere. We just knew that we were going out to eat. And we would both want to go to the same place. And just, I mean, we'd end up saying something. But we knew each other to the point that, you know, I'm sure there were external factors and stimulated both of us. But, you know, it was so interesting. And to be thinking each other's thoughts and how often that happened. And, you know, in this situation where, you know, you're in a conversation, I mean, you start a conversation, and one partner starts a conversation, and that person's already been thinking about it, and there was no reason. Like I said, no external stimulus. It's just that wavelength. And it's, I mean, it's awesome on it. It's just what do you want to call it? It's a mental intimacy that exists, and to have that happen, and so, and this thing of asking is that way we can know. Anyway, that didn't need to happen, become. But in my name is important. In my name, on the bottom of page 25, I have this explanation. In a way, I have name was used of character, and character can be essence, attributes, or nature. You can have, and so the idea is the character of God. And I put four passages, and I put an et cetera because there are a lot more, that when they talk about the name of the Lord, they're talking about the character of the Lord. It wasn't a magic handle. It wasn't a title, a hocus pocus title. Rather, it was the character. And you ask like God would. Something would be done in the character of God. The Father is manifested in His name, showing His character and His person, and we can see that in John 17. I'm not going through these passages, but remember, you do have these three points if you need to begin a pursuit of His name. I've been tempted a multitude of times to do a paper on that. And I never have been led to do it. I have a whole little thing, list of things where I would be fun to do that. And so I try to get others to do it, and they're not allowed to do it either, so I don't know. Now that I've been trying for, I don't know, 20 years to get a grad to do a paper on infinitives in Greek with prepositions and systematize that, because there are a lot of them. Doesn't make any difference to lay people a lot, but it does to me. And nobody's bit yet. Okay, John 15:7. And this is, we talk about abiding. And what I'm going to do is slide down here. In John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this verse is the one we prefer over the others, isn't it? Anything we desire. I've heard that preached so many times. But you know, we've read already, there are several verses that say you ask according to my will. I mean, my name. And so here, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Okay, the word abide means to be at ease, or be comfortable with, be... I've got a big list of them that I am using in Woodburn. And my words are at ease in you. When we are spiritual, we are not going to ask, or abiding, let's do it right. If we're abiding, we are not going to ask something frivolous. I mean, we will know the will of God so much, and let's say it this way. Your desirous will matches up with his desirous will. And that's down in 1 John chapter 5, and we will have to go there just a tad. And so you can see in 7, this goes back to the abiding passage. John 15 is the dominant passage that relates to the vine and the branches. And I'm going to rerun some things I've been running every Monday night for about 3 weeks. And that is, abiding is not being in the vine, but you have to be in the vine to abide. And it's being at ease. And you can see that every branch in me, verse 2, beareth not fruit. You have an in me. So you have an in me relationship. That's why the baptism of the Spirit. So you're in Christ, but this thing of being at ease in Christ. It is so foreign to so many believers when you talk about their being in Christ. Some of them you'll say your position in Christ. And they may have a little more, but it's so foreign, absolutely foreign to them. And it takes a while for them to get there. And it's interesting that the Holy Spirit will touch the buttons that some people have. And they start to see some of that importance. Carnal believers don't have an appetite for the possibility of being in Christ or abiding in Christ. They don't. It's not important to them at all. And so that's kind of scary, because when you come to when you're trying to teach these things about, related to being in Christ, if you had a room full of carnal believers and tares, you're wasting your breath almost. I mean, I hate to say it, because they don't care, they won't hear a thing. They can't absorb it. It's so foreign to them. You might as well be speaking out of Slavovian to them, because they don't understand that at all. And so, I have to remind myself of that. And, I mean, lots of times over the years I've taught this class many times and tie it with the abiding segment, and they have absolutely, I mean, there are those I might as well be talking to zombies, because they, you know, that's information that they have trouble living, because they aren't, and many haven't for a long, long time. Okay, so we go down to verse 16. Says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And here all of a sudden he goes from an indicative mood and he goes to a subjunctive. He may give it to you. Now, we can put them all together. I think this subjunctive has the idea of maybe you didn't ask it in my name in this matter, because all the other promises tie together. But you can see abiding has a great deal to do with your asking in that section. Now, we were over in chapter 16. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works that worketh in us," the one energizing in us, the inherent power that's energizing us. And so he says, he is capable of going far beyond what we could ask if we dreamt it up. I think a problem with asking is not, we would tend to ask for frivolous things, and he will go far beyond that when we ask. And sometimes we just don't understand. You know, how often do you ask related to your own spiritual growth and your own right relationship to God's Word? We don't tend to do that real often. That's where a lot of our asking should be, so that we can be grown. And so I think this passage gives you an idea. He has the inherent ability, the dunamai, to do, any point in time, to do way beyond what we ask or even have go through our mind. And this is Noah always from Noos, and it's anything that we can think of in that matter. Now, in James 1, we have this key little passage, and I dare not skip it. People are have gotten used to what I like to do with this because I think it's that important. James 1, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you is lacking or wanting, that is, a want in the sense that it's something you're coming up short with, if you lack wisdom. Now, we could diagram, and I don't think I will, and that is, you have the order of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is informational. It was gnosko, it's informational and experiential. Understanding in the Greek has the idea of taking what you know and putting it together. And so knowing how to put things together. That's the Greek way of thinking. In Hebrew, what they do, they understand by taking it apart and looking at the parts. And so in one sense, one's a jigsaw puzzle and the other one is a watchmaker taking apart the watch and hopefully remembering how to put it back together. So understanding involves a comprehension in one way or another of what you know, and so that you can make it work. Wisdom, once you understand and know how to make it work, wisdom that here comes from God, and it tells you when to use it and how to use it. And so in a wisdom situation, he says, if you lack in wisdom, you don't know, you have some information, you have you understand it, but you don't know what to say, you don't know how to say it, you don't know whether to say it. And so it's real easy to just stop and ask for wisdom. If you're spiritual, it's easy. You say, Lord, I need some wisdom here. I don't know what to do. You might even give him a list of your options. And say, well, I could say this, or I could do this, or I could say this. And what does it say? It says, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally, and this is not a political verse, by the way. The word liberally here is unreservedly, and abradeth not. He doesn't give you a bad time when you ask for wisdom. But we need to remember that every time we ask. You know, we sometimes feel silly when we ask for the same kind of wisdom in the same kind of circumstance over and over. But usually, if we're smart enough, we understand certain things about ourselves. We need wisdom because we mess it up half the time, or maybe all the time. And God will put what we understand together in a circumstance. And there's a possibility, a remote possibility, that will be given to him. Is that what the verse says? And it shall be given. It will be. Future active indicative. Or future middle indicative. Future passive indicative. Let's do it right. Someone else will give it, and it's going to happen. And so you do it. And it's always fun. I hope you have the opportunity to have the fun I do. When I talk to people, and I've had the privilege in a number of cases where people had not heard this before, and I've given them that advice. I said, ask for wisdom. Remember this. And, you know, there's this little lack of faith often. You know, I'm not sure God will do that. I said, he will give it to you. And it's a divine source. Well, you know, okay, I'll try it. I just said, you know, make sure you're spiritual and you'll have some sense in this matter. And then to ask. And I still remember one of the funniest, it was funny to me because it was such an awesome reaction. I told somebody out of state that they needed in a particular situation to ask for some wisdom. And we discussed it over and over. Oh, you know, it was like, you know, I'm not that smart. Yeah, no, God's going to give it to you. You don't have to be smart. God's going to give it to you. But I'm afraid, but God's going to give it to you. And so what happens in a circumstance that was done, and I don't think it was, I mean, the first shot at the telephone, I got a call. And he said, you know, I tried it, and it worked. I asked God for wisdom, and I knew exactly what to say, and it was perfect. And I knew it came from God, didn't come from me. Well, that sounded, you know, you want to say, I told you so. And it worked. Interestingly enough, wasn't too many days later, another situation came up, and the same person asked for wisdom in that circumstance. Same thing happened again, and he could hardly believe it would happen twice in a row. That close. Got on the phone, calls me, tells me the whole story. I said, well, you're getting practice. You need to do it more often when you need some wisdom. And it was God's wisdom. And it says he will give it to you. And so you have to have some knowledge, and you have to have some understanding. But then he carries it to where it needs to be. And that's his verse. And let him ask in faith. That is, you're believing God when you ask him in faith. He says, not doubting. Nothing doubting. The word wavering sounds like you're on a ship somewhere and wavering. But this is the idea of doubting. It's diakrino. Not doubting. Not trying to go work your way and analyze this whole thing and everything else. Just by faith that God's going to do it. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind, and tossed. So, I mean, you can have that confidence. There's that big promise, and it says, it shall be given to him. And so that promise is, I mean, you believe it. You believe it, and it happens over and over when you begin to see that works. I mean, it's fun. I mean, when you're able to do this, more than once, and you're able to see that God keeps his promise, man, what a way to live. I mean, you have divine consultations when you ask for wisdom, And you're in the Word, and He'll take what you know and understand, and He will apply it, and you'll see it working out in your present tense salvation. And guess who gets the glory? You're right. God gets the glory. And it's none of ours. And when this happens, don't even think you're that smart. Because none of us are. God does it perfectly. And when He does it for us, give Him the credit, give Him the glory, and do it again the next time. And that will make a big... I mean, it's just an awesome privilege that we need to tap. And so somewhere along the line, I don't, you know, you might hear me say, what do I do in this situation, whatever. Well, I think you better use James 1:5. And I hope enough people understand what I'm talking about when I say that. In fact, I did that to somebody not terribly long ago, and they didn't know what I was talking about. So I quoted the verse to them, and I said, go look it up. And I trusted it worked in that situation. And did I do that this week with anybody? I tend to do that rather often is my problem. I mean, when somebody asks me things and didn't quite have an opportunity where I could have done it with someone, and I wasn't asked for help. Had I been, I would have done James 1:5. These life types of decisions. The next verse is over 1 John 3 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Beginning at verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemns us, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, and God is the God, which is God the Father, because we keep His commandments, love one another as I have loved you. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So here you have an asking. Now He's going to put a cap on this. He's going to punch it harder when He gets to the end of the book. In chapter 5, we have verses 14 through 16. And these are, the keys are all here. But this one is going to put it all together, sort of. In verse 14, and we have this confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears and responds to us. So we're asking in His name, in His character, and it's according to His desirous will. And so that's how that works out. His character matches up with His desirous will, and He hears and responds. The word hear, I mean, how can an immense God not hear anything you say? Because He's everywhere at the same time. All three persons are everywhere at the same time. But this word here is the word akouo, which is acoustics, means to hear and to respond on it. I mean, I know in some cases where people, kids are asked parents and want this, and at least back when I was growing up, there were people say, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Can't come and harass them for more. I don't hear you. And it takes a little while, they'll get the picture. That they don't want to listen to anything. I mean, you're not going to get what you want. And I wouldn't mind hearing that sometimes in some of my experiences in a grocery store. I've seen, man, I tell you, those kids, I don't know how much time it took them to get that degree in psychology, but they sure have it. And they aren't even out of diapers yet. They just have people wrapped around their fingers. And that, verse 15. And if we know, or since we know that He will hear us, whatever we happen to ask, we know that we have the things that we ask for. The word petitions is itema. So it's the noun. The askings are the things asked for that we have ask from Him. And the word desired is ital, that we have asked from Him. And so verse 15, verse 16, if any man sees his brother sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall, you know, I got to look at my Greek so I'm on the right. Erotao for it. I was going to say it was erotao here. Don't go up and interfere with God's plan by erotaoing. But you have iteo here. But you see, ask according to his will. Now, we would go back, and if we go back and were to review a little bit further, we would ask which passages are the ones that have four different kinds of communication in them. One is Philippians 4:6. There you have itema. So that's one of them. That's why you have the notes here. And then you have the other passage, which is 1 Timothy 2:1, which has no itel form. And so that's why that one is here. And then I separated out 16 of 1 John in your notes. So the review, I mean the overview here of asking, it must be done by the abiding Christian, the character and person of Christ. There's no uncertainty in this communication. If you have uncertainty, that's an unknown factor which becomes supplication. If a believer asks something for himself and does not receive it, he must reevaluate his communication and attempt to discover where it was done, whether it was done by an abiding believer or a spiritual believer, and it was really clearly Christ, I mean, the will of in my, in, I mean, according to the will of our Lord. And then when you ask in Jesus' name, Jesus will do the thing you ask, resulting in greater works than he did on earth. We can get a deal with that one, as well as we might have. Okay, let's see if I mean, these are summary statements here. By the way, in asking, you only need to ask one time. You don't have to ask more. You don't need to storm the gates of heaven. That's a gospel concept. That's not a grace concept. You ask once. You believe God said it. I believe it. And he's going to take care of it. And if we do it in a proper way, the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to do part of that work, and we'll see. And so, I have Dr. Safer's quote from back in San Francisco days. That is, praying in his name means a recognition of oneself as a living part of Christ, and therefore limited by the leading of the Holy Spirit in the subject of asking prayer to those things in direct line with God's will, which always result in the Father being glorified. And so, this kind of communication is to address the request of the Father in the character of the Son or name of the Son by the leading and enabling of the Holy Spirit. And so, and as a result, there's glory. Now, I've listed six things on 27 that are some of the blessings that I see. And I see them from Scripture. Communication with God is something you can do all the time. You don't have to go to church on Sunday. You can do it anytime you're awake. You don't want to do it if you're carnal, because carnal people don't want to talk to God. That what happens when you're carnal, if you want to talk to God, you're going to bellyache about something and complain and want to change things rather than conform to what God wants. And so communication is not just asking God, but it involves communion as well, sharing in common with him in our communication. And I'm trying to be careful of saying, you know, communion involves this reciprocity, as it were. That is, he shares with us. And we can see almost through the Spirit very, very different kinds of things as we share in our communication with him and talking to him and letting him talk back to us, as it were. How many times when you talk to God do you not have some thought come to your mind and you know it's from his word and it's an encouragement and it stabilizes things when they're unstable and it strengthens when they are stable. And so those things happen. It's interesting, you can cast all your care upon him because it matters to him about you. And you can have peace. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, communication will help eliminate anxiety. And that's really important when we understand it. And communication permits the believer to focus his thinking on things above. Makes it possible to focus where it needs to be. And so in this, we've gone through it very quickly. As I've said before, there's an awful lot more than what we're able to cover. We've covered it in 12 weeks. That's not much. But it gives you that introduction. I've gone through it in 36 hours in seminary. I've been getting right about 12 weeks worth. You know, I'm getting 12 hours is what I'm saying. So, when we come to this part of the class, there's still one more section here. And this, you guys have, and this is what I've used this test for a long time. So, anybody need a staple? Oh, fine. How am I going to do that? I'll see if I can get it fit. It's just a review. I'll try to make sure I get the sheet up on the bulletin board. How come there's an extra one? I wasn't supposed to do that. Okay. So, I mean, it's a self-examination. The only grade you get is when God grades it. I don't grade it. But you know, you have the opportunity to check it out and see if you have questions. Usually, especially on true and false, I will try to mark it so you can see it and understand it. So, okay. Father, may you bless as we continue in the evening, and for the next class, we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.